You're listening to the Marketing Spot Blogcast, the internet show about small business marketing with your host, Jay Arrett. Power to the small business.
Hey, and welcome to episode number 11 of Power to the Small Business, the continuing saga of small business marketing. I am your humble host, Jay Arrett, here to put a little loca into your marketing vita. My company is The Marketing Spot, located in Waco, Texas. My website, themarketingspot.com. The blog is themarketingspot.blogspot.com. The podcast can be found on iTunes by searching Power to the Small Business. You can also find it at themarketingspot.podomatic.com. There, we got all that stuff out of the way. We have a fascinating guest today, Dan Rome. He's author of The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. Man, this book is really hot on Amazon right now. Dan is a management consultant in San Francisco. His company is Digital Rome, and he floats with the big boys, eBay, Microsoft. So what's he doing on Power to the Small Business? Creativity. You know, I found that small business owners have a hard time unlocking that creativity box. And personally, now I found it helpful to step outside of that box, and I use things like storyboarding and drawing pictures on those big post-it notes on walls. That helps me unlock my creativity. So I came across Dan Rome, and then I read some of the reviews of his books, and I went to his awesome website. You've got to go there. It's thebackofthenapkin.com. Don't forget the T-H-E, thebackofthenapkin.com. We've got a link to it right here on the blog. And hey, I thought, this guy is helping to open minds creatively and innovatively. I thought he would be a perfect guest for Power to the Small Business. Today, he's going to share his concepts, system, his ideas with us to help you open your mind to visual thinking. Open that creativity box. Also on the big show this episode, a brand new feature. We're going to help you cease and desist from self-destructive marketing habits. That's later on, but let's get to the guest, Dan Rome, because we've got a lot of marketing knowledge to cram into our brains today. And so we go to the Skype line, where joining us on the line is Dan Rome. He is author of the new book, The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. Dan also runs his own management consulting company called Digital Rome, located in San Francisco. And Dan, welcome to Power to the Small Business.
Hey, Jay, thanks very much.
Appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule. I know you're out promoting your book right now. Tell us a little bit about your book before we get started here. What is The Back of the Napkin?
Well, The Back of the Napkin is all about solving problems with pictures. It's primarily oriented towards business people who might have any type of business challenge. And what I've learned over the years in being a business person and a graphic designer at the same time, we have, as people, an incredibly powerful and innate ability to explain ourselves, to discover ideas and develop ideas with really simple little sketches that anyone can do. And the book really says, you know, if you're in the business world, this is not only a viable way to go about expressing yourself and solving problems, this is a really powerful way to do those things. And it's something that in business, most people are unfamiliar with. And that's what the book, I hope, will do, is make business people in particular who might be a little bit uncomfortable or unfamiliar with their ability to draw, their ability to think visually, to become more comfortable with those skills and learn how to use them in just about any business setting.
Let's just start off at the beginning. What is visual thinking? Can you define it for us, please?
Sure. The simplest way, solving problems with pictures. Now, if I could have 30 seconds for my elevator pitch, it goes a little bit deeper than that, which says, what I think visual thinking really means is it means taking advantage of our innate ability to see, both with our eyes and with our mind's eye, in order to discover ideas that otherwise would have been invisible if we were just using words, then develop those ideas in a really quick, sketchy, intuitive way. And then thirdly, once we've got that sketch done, have this really brilliantly powerful tool to then share those ideas with someone else. So summarizing it, discovering, developing, and sharing our ideas in a rapid and intuitive way.
Now, your book outlines kind of a four parts to visual thinking. Is that what you just described to us? Are those the four parts to visual thinking?
almost. There's another part that's involved there. And the reason, I'm glad, Jay, you brought this up. One of the things that I really like to start out with, especially when I'm doing a workshop or a session with business people who are maybe not familiar with visual thinking, is let them know that there is a process here. And the reason I like to do that is because I have found that most people in business who are unsure about how to solve problems with pictures really, it's primarily stemming from the fact that they're really uncomfortable or uncertain about their own ability to draw. So the reason that I like to say that there is a process behind this is it really shows these folks that drawing is only the very last part of this whole process. And if you get good at the other steps, the drawing part will come naturally. So having said that, let me just walk you really quickly through what the steps are.
Okay.
The four steps of visual thinking and the way I think about it start out with just being able to look at a problem. Step number one is looking. Then being able to see the patterns that emerge from within that problem. So step number two is seeing. Step number three is then being able to manipulate those patterns in our mind's eye, if you will, to be able to discover new ideas about them and figure out better ways to take advantage of those patterns. And I refer to that simply as imagining. That's step number three. And then the last step is after we've imagined a really great idea, step number four is we've got to get it down on paper so that we can show it to somebody else. So the four steps are look, see, imagine, and show. The reason I really like those, one of the reasons is because obviously they're all terms that are drawn from vision, which I think is a powerful indicator of how much we use this notion of being able to look and see as we think about problem solving. So much of the way we approach it is visual anyway, and this helps to kind of really nail that down. The second reason I really like that those four simple steps is we already know how to do every one of them. And by putting the showing piece, which is where the drawing takes place, way at the end, I've found that it makes a lot of people much more comfortable when I tell them, look, if you can just get better at simply using your eyes to look at a problem and then see the pieces that are in it and see the patterns that are emerging within that problem, and then imagine how you can change those, the drawing part is just going to flow. It's just going to happen. You don't even need to worry about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. We're talking with Dan Rome. He is author of The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. But Dan, we do got to get to that part where we show and we do have to draw. And you got to admit, probably a lot of people you talk to, they're afraid to start drawing pictures, especially if they have to show them to somebody. What do you say to people who get to that drawing port and they say, you know, I just can't draw, Dan?
Well, you know, I get that every single time I walk into a meeting. I mean, Jay, every session, every workshop, someone in the room says, Dan, you know, visual thinking, solving problems with pictures, that sounds great, but I'm not visual, that's not for me. I say to them, and I don't mean this facetiously, I'll say to them, look, I understand that, I appreciate that. We all have different talents, we all are better at certain things than other people, worse at certain things than other folks. But if you have the ability to walk into this room and find a place to sit down without falling down, you're visual enough to understand everything we're going to talk about. It really works at that fundamental level. And the proof is this. You know, we were all kindergartners at one time. We were all 6, 7 years old. Just think about this exercise for a moment. Go into a kindergarten class, and of course, you know, with the teacher's permission, ask all the little 6-year-olds in there how many can draw, and every hand is going to go up. And then ask them how many can read and write, and maybe you'll get one or two hands. Well, now stay with that same class. Come back 10 years later when all those kids are now 16 years old, they're in 10th grade, and ask the same two questions. You know, how many can draw? You'll get maybe 2 or 3 hands raised. How many can read and write? Everybody's hand's going to go up. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with reading and writing. I mean, that's absolutely fundamental, and I would not even want to change anything about how we get better at that. But what's missing clearly is that when we were young, our initial way to go about solving problems before we could read and write was through pictures. The reason I emphasize this is because we already know how to do it. The second point that's really critical to make to people who are very concerned about their inability to draw is that, you know, we're not talking about making very sophisticated artistic renderings here. You know, we're talking about extremely simple little sketches. I mean, literally, if you can draw a square, however bad it might look, and a circle, and an arrow connecting the two, and then in a real stretch, if you can make a smiley face or a stick figure, those are all the pieces that we need to make the drawings that I'm talking about.
Hey, I'm in then.
Well, if I may, for just to explain why I know this to be true, is that our greatest concern among most of us who say, oh, I can't draw, I'm not visual, is we're comparing ourselves to the wrong people. You know, when we look at drawings and the way we've kind of been taught to judge drawings is, how well did the artist capture what they saw out there in the world? You know, Rembrandt's magnificent because he was able to draw these pictures that look so much like the person in front of him. Leonardo was able to draw things that look just like the way they did in nature. Those are not the pictures we're talking about. The pictures that we're talking about here are not meant to represent what we saw out there in the world in front of us. They're really meant to represent what we see in here, in our mind's eye, as we start to think through solving a problem. I guarantee anybody can do this.
And it's really just about getting over your own insecurities about drawing in front of other people, isn't it?
I really like to emphasize that it's not what the pictures look like that's important. What matters is the fact that you are willing to stand up, you know, sometimes by yourself and sometimes in an audience and say, look, I want to map out for you the idea that I have in my mind. And then just start by drawing these very simple shapes. And you know what? What I have found, and I've trained a lot of people to do this, it actually helps a lot of people get over concerns about stage fright or performance anxiety, because for many, many people, especially people who've never considered themselves to be good at drawing, the act of standing in front of the whiteboard and then starting to draw some circles up there and talk as you draw actually makes people more comfortable, because you're shifting the focus away from yourself and onto these very simple shapes that you're drawing on the board.
So, Dan, anyone can draw a picture, you're saying, and use your visual thinking process. And now you're managing your management consulting company, Digital Rome. You work with clients like Microsoft, eBay, Wells Fargo, Walmart, Pete's Coffee. So can Steve Ballmer and Jeff Bezos, can they draw a picture?
Oh, absolutely they can. I've never seen Steve Ballmer actually draw a picture, but I'll tell you, the CEO of Pete's Coffee, Pat O'Day, is a guy I've worked with quite a bit, magnificent at being able to sketch out an idea very quickly. And another fella, in fact, the very best visual thinking business person that I've ever come across, is a guy named Stephen Pratt. He's CEO of a company called Infosys Consulting that most people have never heard of. But Infosys is actually the largest outsourcer of technology development based out of India. And this is a guy, he is the quintessential consultative salesman. CEO of a major consulting company, walks into any meeting and will pull out a sheet of paper and begin to sketch out his view of the market or his view of the client or his view of how his company might be able to help out the client. Now, Jay, here's a critical point that I really want to bring up. Although I've titled my book, The Back of the Napkin, I really want to make it clear that making these sketches does not mean that you're winging it. The simple sketches that we're talking about, in particular if you're going to use them in a sales presentation, do demand that you practice and you rehearse in advance and that you know what you want to say. But instead of saying it through a pre-built PowerPoint presentation or through a pre-built handout, you're going to create your message visually in front of the person as you're making the sale or as you're having the conversation with them. And that's where the real power comes in.
Okay, well, let's put this into practical application then, Dan. Let's say, and we're talking to small business owners, let's say they are working hard on a marketing problem.
Right.
Like coming up with a brand promise for their business. They're trying to more effectively brand their business. They want a brand promise. How can we do that? How can we use this visual thinking process to work through a problem like that?
Okay, well, what I would do is I would say, you know, probably you've already got a lot of ideas in mind, and the issue is just trying to initially get them down on paper. And one way that many people might do that, you know, they're working on what's their brand promise or what's their value proposition for their company, is just start writing down a whole bunch of ideas, which is great. But let's take a different approach. Let's pull out a blank sheet of paper, and then over on one side of the paper, maybe over in the left side near the top, just draw a little circle up there and label that me or my company, you know, kind of whatever is top of mind. What's the center of your problem? In this particular case, it's, let's say it's my business. Okay, and then over on the other side of the paper, maybe more over to the right, draw another circle and make it a little bit bigger and call it my clients. And then down below, maybe make a bigger circle and call that my market. And then make another circle smaller, put it over near your own, and call that one my competitors. And now what you're doing is you're mapping out the key pieces of kind of the marketing environment in which your company exists. And you're doing it visually, which is the way our mind really wants to do it anyway. And what's going to happen is as you draw these various circles, and you're just giving them the names that seem most appropriate based on what your challenge is, you're starting to let your mind think about the relationships between these circles. So start to draw some arrows between them. You know, what's the relationship between my company up here and my clients versus, say, my competition? And then go ahead and at the circle near me, say, you know, draw in something that's really good that my company does that, say, my competition doesn't do. And if I'm in the marketing business, let's say one of the things that I do really well that others don't do is, well, I think visually. So, you know, draw a little eyeball there or something to indicate that you're good at visual thinking. And this is exactly the exercise I've done for myself, by the way. And then put down near where your competitors are, say, you know, draw a little eyeball and say they're not good at visual thinking. And continue to go through this process. And what's going to happen is because you're not just writing, but you're actually creating a kind of a map, you're mapping out many of the ideas that are already in your mind. And as you do that, connections are going to appear and relationships are going to appear between these pieces on the page that simply could not have if you were just writing the list. And as you continue to push through, you'll find that 2 or 3 minutes later, all of a sudden your mind says, oh, wait a minute, I never thought about this piece over here. You know, I've got a bigger base of clients than my competitor does. Maybe I can make something, maybe I could add that into my value proposition, what have you. So, and these are only things that emerge as you go through this very simple little visual exercise.
It's kind of like tapping into parts of your mind that you don't normally use because you're not using a process like this for thinking out problems.
That's exactly right. And in fact, just really quickly, within the book, The Back of the Napkin, I really tried to break all of this down into a set of very simple little tools and rules that you can use anytime, anywhere, that anybody can. And you just nailed something, Jay, that I think is important, is one of the tools I've got in there is a very simple little exercise that says that if you've got the initial sort of kernel of an idea in mind, you know, you've got the beginning of a value proposition or you've got the first inkling of a great idea that you could sell to a client, there's a simple little exercise you could go through. It's got kind of a funny name. I call it the SQVID, which is just 5 letters, S-Q-V-I-D. What those letters indicate are just 5 questions you can ask yourself about your initial idea that'll help you really think it through. And quite literally, you know, here's a term that I hate, but we hear it all the time. They will force your brain to think outside the box. And what you're actually doing is you ask yourself these 5 questions, which are, and I'll just run through them very quickly, is something simple or complex? Do I want to show something qualitatively or do I want to show it quantitatively? Do I want to show a vision or do I want to show execution? Do I want to show something individually or in comparison? And finally, do I want to show the way things are or the way they might be? So those just derive from the 5 letters. As you go through this, what's happening is you're taking that initial kernel of an idea and you are forcing your mind to push that idea into essentially every corner of your mind's eye that you have. You're doing left brain thinking, you're doing right brain thinking, you're doing analytical thinking, you're doing synthetic thinking. And believe me, as you've taken your initial, you know, kernel of an idea and are imagining what's a simple way to draw it versus what's a quantitative way to draw it, like how do I show it in terms of number and measurement versus what's a visionary way to draw this thing out, you're going to literally feel the gears shifting in your brain as you jump from one side of your mind's eye to the other, and amazing stuff's going to come out the other side, ideas that you would have never believed you were capable of thinking of. You're forcing your brain to come up with them in a way that your brain really wants to do.
Dan, can you give us maybe an example of something that we can see out there? You've worked with a lot of big clients on using this process. Can you give us an example of a problem that's been solved that you've had the opportunity to work with?
Well, I'll tell you the easiest way is if people, and this is not a sales pitch for Fast Company magazine, but if anybody has a chance to pick up the April issue of Fast Company magazine, Fast Company was nice enough to do a whole article about my visual problem solving. And in fact, they've got some case studies from some of the clients that you just mentioned, Walmart, Microsoft, Pete's Coffee, Infosys, some others. The example I'm going to give you, though, that I think is the very, very best one is not one that I've done. And this is the ultimate back of the napkin business sketch. It actually goes back to the story of the founding of Southwest Airlines. And it turns out that back in the late 1960s, two guys, Rollin King and Herb Kelleher, were sitting in a bar down in San Antonio, And they were talking about a new airline that they were thinking about creating. And what Rollin King did is he took a napkin off the bar and he drew three dots on that napkin. He said, you know, in Texas, there are really three major metropolitan areas. There's the Dallas area up here, and he drew a dot for Dallas up at the top. And then you've got the Houston area over here, and he drew a dot down on the bottom, and the San Antonio area over here, and he drew another dot. And then he connected those three with a line, creating a very simple little triangle. He said, if we were to make an airline that just connected these three business hubs of Texas, we would go like gangbusters, because right now there's no way that a Texas business person can fly between those three cities without having to go through Denver or Cincinnati or someplace else, because of the way the hub and spoke system of that time was set up for the airlines. So literally what he did with that simple little triangle on a napkin was that was the original route map and the foundation of Southwest Airlines. Wow. Which, of course, is going on to become the most profitable airline in history. It all started on the back of a napkin.
There you go. That is a great story. It's Dan Rome. He's author of The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. His company is called Digital Rome, a management consulting company out of San Francisco. Dan, man, it seems like you are everywhere right now. What's coming up next for Dan Rome and The Back of the Napkin?
Wow. Well, yeah, I'm doing a lot of traveling these days. I'm really happy to say that the book has just done extremely well. It's selling really, really well. I can tell you right now it's in its third reprint, which is exciting just 1 month after having it been released. It seems to have hit a nerve. It seems like this notion of being able to solve problems through pictures is something that a lot of people are gravitating towards, and it's magnificent for me to have an opportunity to share these ideas with such an appreciative and broad audience. So, Jay, I really thank you letting me do this interview with you as well.
Well, it seems like you have touched a nerve within business people everywhere in the country, and we appreciate you joining us today here on The Big Show and give us a peek inside the back of the napkin.
Well, thanks so much.
Visual thinking, where will it take you? I'll give you my thoughts after we take a quick pause, and I've got a new feature to introduce to you right here on Power to the Small Business.
You should be getting more business than you are. You know you have a great business, so why aren't you getting more customers? It's just that your marketing is not working the way it should be. Don't throw up your hands and surrender to the marketing frustration. What you need is a coach, a marketing coach. Someone who knows marketing and can give you the knowledge and the skills you need to market more effectively. Jay Arrett and The Marketing Spot provide marketing coaches for small business owners virtually anywhere in the world. Using our four-spot marketing model, we will help you to build a customized marketing plan for your business. You will be empowered to market more practically in a way that will build long-term business and customer loyalty. And you will end the marketing frustration. For free, no obligation coaching assessment, email The Marketing Spot. Email jay@themarketingspot.com. That's J-A-Y at themarketingspot.com. Put coaching in the subject line. Empower your small business to market more effectively.
Visual thinking. Dan Rome says it's the way we're made to think. Now, personally, I've used pictures in my brainstorming meetings and storyboarding my presentations, and I used it when I was a salesperson in media sales. If you find yourself stuck, hey, why not open up your mind? You know, Roger Van Oak, author of Whack on the Side of the Head and the Creative Think blog, he says that we need to break out of our prison of familiarity by disrupting our habitual thought patterns. Take a look at Dan Rome's book. See if it works for you. Open up your mind. Change your thought habits. Hope that helps, but it's time to move on because we've got a brand new feature here on The Big Show. It's time for you to help me help you.
Help me help you. Help me help you.
All right, call me the Jerry Maguire of small business marketing, here to help you stop those self-destructive marketing habits. The habit I want to bring to your attention today is probably the most pervasive of all self-destructing marketing habits, and it's a phrase you may be using that has absolutely no meaning, and that phrase is for all your blank needs. In the blank, insert your industry there. For all your floral needs, for all your automotive needs, for all your investment needs. Hey, help me help you. Stop it. I don't have a floral need. I need to buy flowers for my mom. I don't have an automotive need. I need to get my car repaired in 1 hour. I don't have an investment need. I want to find out how to make sure I have enough money when I retire. using for all your blank needs is condemning yourself to commodity hell, because you are telling consumers exactly nothing about your business except that you operate in an industry. So please, help me help you and tell the consumer something specific about your business.
Help me help you. Help me help you.
And that brings us to the close of the big show. On our next episode, episode number 12, Becky Carroll of the Customers Rock blog will be making a return appearance on the show as we talk about the Starbucks marketing mess, in my opinion, the marketing lessons that you can learn from Starbucks mistakes, and why it matters to you. Thanks for joining us. My name is Jay Arrett of The Marketing Spot. We'll catch you next time on the internet show that recharges your marketing batteries. It's power to the small business.
You've been listening to The Marketing Spot Blogcast with Jay Arrett, the internet show about small business marketing. Please add your comment or post your question in the comment area below. You can email Jay with comments and suggestions to jay@themarketingspot.com. For more information about our company, see our website, themarketingspot.com. Power to the small business.